everyone, this is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today we're covering Music Smart and People Smart for the lectionary selections for the third Sunday in Advent, Year C. Hey, we have a passage from Zephaniah. It's full of exulting and rejoicing.
Yay!
Isaiah fills in for the psalmist this week with singing and rejoicing.
Yay!
Paul encourages the Philippians with prayer, peace, and rejoicing.
Woohoo!
And Luke gives us John the Baptist. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, right?
This podcast is based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, centered on the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary, we develop illustrations and special effects using various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. Over the course of 4 weeks, we will cover word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You could read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking at the link at the top of our webpage, morethanhearing.org.
Join us as we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Then we encourage you to try it yourself. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
And we're back for Year C, Advent 3. As we mentioned in the introduction, we are looking at only two of the intelligences this week. We are looking at people and music. I am doing people, so I'm going to give you a little bit about what that is. Individuals who are people smart have the ability to perceive and make distinctions in moods, intentions, motivations, feelings of other people. They can read a room. This can include sensitivity to facial expressions, voice, gestures, the capacity for discriminating among many different kinds of interpersonal cues, and the ability to respond effectively to those cues in some pragmatic way. For example, to influence a group of people to follow a certain line of action. These are the charismatic leaders, people who can touch people without actually touching them. So these people are those who learn through interaction. They have a lot of friends, empathy for others, street smarts. They respond to group activities, seminars, or dialogues. They like to talk to other people. So those are your people smart folks, and that's what I'm going to concentrate on, looking at the four passages for Year C, Advent 3, starting with the Old Testament lesson, Zephaniah 3, verses 14 through 20. And as I was reading this, I just kind of got the mental image of a fountain or of bubbles in a carbonated drink, just things that just kept rising, because this is, Zephaniah is just, he's having a ball on this one. He's singing for joy. The first verse, sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. And he gives the reasons why, because God has remembered them, God has come back, God is in their midst, God is reclaiming them. God is going to remove disaster from them so that they will not bear reproach for it, and God will deal with their oppressors. So that
I will deal with you later.
The context of this particular passage is people in exile. And I read a particular commentary by Joanna Adams at Christian Century, who talks about her own experiences of contemporary exile, which I think is something that you might want to pay attention to for this particular passage, because this time of year, while people may actually be where they live, they may be emotionally feeling exile. This is a time of year when a lot of forced cheer is placed upon our hearts and souls. So you might want to keep in mind that there may be people who are feeling a little exiled, and this may really connect with them. So I have two illustrations and two special effects, but I'm only going to do one of each. The illustration that I'm choosing is the one about the Lord being in your midst. You shall no more fear destruction, and I will deal with your oppressors. So some illustrations, some ways you might illustrate those ideas. Talk about, you know, when somebody's big brother comes along to take care of a bully. Or you go out with a group of friends, you have a posse of friends who have your back, either in a nightclub or at a sporting event or something, or traveling even, people who take care of each other in a group. Teammates who rally from a potential crushing defeat when the team captain or the beloved player comes and takes the field. Or soldiers in formation, or mushers with their dogs or animal trainers. I kind of went a little far afield on that one, but I think the relationship is the key factor in these illustrations and in any illustration you use to illuminate that particular passage. Knowing who people are, taking cues from their presence, knowing what to do as an individual and as a group because of the relationship, and again, even if the relationship is with other members of God's creation. Burp, burp. The other illustration you can look at on the worksheet, which you can download at www.morethanhearing.org. And I'm using the second of my two special effects. There is a particular website we use a lot for iSmart called Art and Faith Matters by a woman named Lynn Miller, who is an artist. And she is using Picasso's cubism as a way to illustrate is what Zephaniah is doing here. So this might be an interesting experience. Break into small groups and get one of Picasso's famous cubist pictures. Because when Picasso began cubism, it was in Paris in 1941, Nazi-occupied Paris. And as an artist, he was left alone. But that also meant that he had an opportunity to observe what was going on around him. And essentially, the world was coming apart. And so that inspired him to look at objects or people from a variety of different perspectives, from the top, from the side, from the bottom, from the back, and to take those perspectives, paint that a piece of that perspective, and then reassemble that perspective into the whole. So you have the outline, the shape of the object, but in different places, you have the different perspectives. So he reassembled objects into a whole with different perspectives on them. And so Lynn Miller suggests that as Picasso is watching the world fall apart and maybe even hoping for a reassembling of it, this is what God is doing with Judah in this passage from Zephaniah. God is finding the pieces of Judah and putting them back together. So that's an interesting way of discussing what it includes some eye smart because you're looking at a picture, but you're also discussing it. And you're discussing, you know, how is God reassembling the people of Judah and how is God reassembling us?
Okay, so switching over to music smart then, let's think a little bit about what that's about. Music smart individuals are those who have a capacity to perceive, discriminate, transform, and express information in musical forms. Such people might be music critics, composers, performers, or just aficionados. This intelligence includes sensitivity to rhythm, pitch, or melody, timbre, or tone color of a musical piece. Music smart people love music, of course, but they are also sensitive to the sounds in their environment. They may study better with music in the background, and they can be taught by turning lessons into lyrics, speaking rhythmically, or tapping out time. And your choir is probably loaded with music smarties.
One would hope.
The Zephaniah passage is one of the few that we come across that actually uses musical language in it, in calling people to sing and to say that the Lord will be singing over the people, which is pretty cool. That's actually one of my favorite images. And we'll talk about that a little bit as we get into it here. So the first verse, verse 14, sing aloud, daughter Zion, and rejoice and exult with all your heart. for illustration. Well, it's not quite an illustration, but just thinking about that question of singing with all your heart. When was the last time that you sang with all your heart? And you can either use that as a prompt for yourself in writing what mm-hmm. your illustration might be and think about that time when you did. Was it at a party? Was it a love song for your beloved? Was it a children's song that you're singing with kids at church or your own kids or something like that? Or a hymn in worship? Or you can invite your congregation, just ask them those questions and ask, let them ruminate a bit on when they were belting out a song, which pulls in a little bit of self-smart. So there's that. But and then keep going with that sort of self-smart element of the song. But how did you feel afterwards, after belting out that song? And what keeps you from singing to the Lord with all your heart that way all the time?
What you could also do as an illustration is if you are a singer, just sing something.
Yeah, and maybe show the difference between singing with all your heart and singing like most church folks.
Like, what is this? Yeah.
When I think about somebody singing with all their heart, I think of the kids at Vacation Bible School this summer. There were a couple of them in particular that the theme
sang
song
from their heels.
Yeah. Every fiber of their being was going into that song, right?
Which inspired kids around them.
It did.
To sing with all of their heart and soul, too. And I think there were probably some people who sang this summer who probably had never sung like that before.
Yeah. It was very cool.
It was. Right.
And then if you tack on verse 15, the Lord takes away the judgments against you and has turned away your enemies. That got me to thinking about the musical Chicago. And got some spoilers here for you, but you know the movie came out 16 years ago, so it's your own fault. And the Broadway came out in 1975, I think. So, but anyway, both Roxy and Velma are accused of murder, and they both end up being acquitted. But along the way, they're trying to build their own notoriety and fame, making use of their situation. And eventually, the next big thing comes along, and everybody forgets them. Mm-hmm. So they end up going into showbiz together at the end, and they have a big review, and they're a big hit. And so their shame is turned aside, their enemies are turned aside, and they find the fame and renown that they were looking for. So you might think about songs like Razzle Dazzle, which is Roxy's trial, and Nowadays, which is the finale. And we've got a link to a clip of Nowadays, so you can take a look at that. It's not a direct parallel to the text, because, you know, God, you know, holding
two murderers got off. Yeah.
Right. So there's that. But then again, Judah had piled up a good lot of sins. Mm. And
they weren't exactly innocent either.
They were not. They were not. But the notoriety and fame is a little different because it's the Lord's love that brings that for Judah.
Right.
So it's not parallel, but it rhymes, which makes it music smart. Other songs that I wanted to mention, particularly for the part where the Lord will sing over you and exalt over you. So, pick some love songs, and I'm feeling the show tunes, so I went with Come What May from Moulin Rouge, which a pretty powerful song and powerfully sung with all their hearts. It was Ewan McGregor and Nicole Kidman, and we've got links for you there to see the clip from the movie, and also you can hear the studio version. Or another show, West Side Story, you might pick Tonight, and Maria. And I was listening, I got links for those too. I was listening to the lyrics to those, and man, there's like one line.
Yeah.
For a 3-minute song.
Yeah.
But okay, well, whatever. Sung with gusto. Then finally, for special effect, going back to verse 14 and that exulting with all your heart, pick a favorite hymn for your congregation, maybe Joy to the World, because it's close to Christmas,
yep.
And invite the congregation specifically to just belt it out. Rejoice with all their hearts and sing it. And when you're done, point out that the text says the Lord will exult and sing over the Lord's people that same way.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on.
The psalm for Advent 3, year C, is Isaiah 12. Okay. Isaiah 12, 2 to 6. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my might. And goes on, you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the nations. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Shout aloud, sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
It sounds like a psalm.
It does. And so looking at it from Music Smart, it has, again, some of those music words in it. Wow. We
sing, sing, to, sing.
Get to highlight it in blue, which you'll see on our worksheet if you download it. Thinking about this from Music Smart point of view. For illustration, verse 2 there, I will trust and not be afraid. The best bands tend to be the ones where the players trust each other,
mm-hmm.
at least musically.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Lots of stories about bands that don't trust each other off stage, but
right.
when they're on stage,
it's magic.
Right.
Yeah.
So Max Weinberg was the drummer for Bruce Springsteen. I don't know, maybe he still is the drummer for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. And when he was on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, he told a story about how they plan their shows in such a way that they've got about 3/4 of the show set as a playlist. But he said about 15 or 20 songs, because they play for 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. Just ridiculous. Yeah, and yes, he is still the drummer.
Okay. So 15 to 20 of those songs are audibles that Bruce calls on the spot. And... and he said
it's a great story.
Yeah. He said, you know, Bruce would look at him and start that classic count off. One, two, three, four. And, you know, he gets to three and he hasn't said what the song is. And a lot of the songs start with a drum riff.
Right.
You know, and yeah. And he doesn't know, it's at three, and he doesn't know what it is, what it's going to be on four.
Four, go.
Go. So he just has to either guess or
play something and play figure something. Bruce will figure it out in one beat.
Right. Yeah. So.
Change his mind in the middle of the stream.
That is trusting your band.
Absolutely.
Right there. So there's a Music Smart illustration of trusting and not being afraid. Although I think Max gets a little afraid, but Bruce seems to be fine with it. So
hasn't fired him.
Yeah, yeah. And for special effect on verses 5 and 6, sing praises to the Lord. See the special effect from Zephaniah that we just talked about. So that's all I got for this passage. How about you, Maul? What do you got for People Smart?
Well, okay. I've got a couple of, I will have in the show notes some links to some commentary about this passage that go with the People Smart idea of it. So you can go look there. Howard Wallace in particular. I'm looking also at, as an illustration, for verse 2, trusting and not being afraid. It makes me think of a clip from the Disney movie Aladdin. The two different times where Aladdin says to Jasmine, do you trust me? And the first time he helps her escape from the palace guards, well, mostly escape. And the second time is when he's impersonating Prince Abubu and...
Abubwa.
Oh, Abubwa. and says to her the exact same thing he said when he was Aladdin, and it clues her into who he is. I also have another link to the Disney movie Pocahontas, which is a musical illustration of what happens when fear gets the upper hand. It's the song Savages, which happens toward the end of the movie. Anyway, so there are some musical examples of trust. Right. Yeah, I'm following along you there. In verse 5, sing praises to the Lord for what he has done gloriously. Again, I seem to be wandering over into music smarts with a clip from the movie The Prince of Egypt, When You Believe, which is toward the end of the movie also. Mm-hmm. As another illustration, since we're near the end of the calendar year, use some of your congregation's year-end reports to sing praise to God for what God has done in your fellowship this past year. There are a couple other illustrations I have, but I'm not going to talk about them now. Go over to the website and download the worksheet, and you can see what we've got there. For special effect, music really has the upper hand for this passage. But for people smart, if your congregation practices the spiritual discipline of testimony, testify, this would be a good place to do it. And if you don't do that practice, I have a couple of links for what testimony would look like, and it might plant a seed for future use.
So what are you thinking here?
For somebody particularly who maybe had a went through a difficult patch in 2018, and because of the way God intervened or led them or touched them or healed them, it would be a good time for them to stand up and sing gloriously or praise God for right there in the midst of all the people about what God has done. Mm-hmm. It's a way of not only for that individual to return thanks, but also a way of maybe sparking some gratitude and some reflection in the hearts of other people. So it's kind of, it's a little bit of self-smart as well there, but you're doing it in the context of a group setting. So that's where the people.
So there's got to be some trust.
Absolutely. Yeah, it takes a great deal of courage for people who ordinarily might not be public speakers to get up in front of other people and say, this is what has happened. Mm-hmm. But if it was something that, just completely and totally changed their lives, encourage it. And if you don't actually do that, maybe you could do it. Maybe you could model that and plant a seed for how it might work in the future.
Step out of the pulpit to do it.
Right. I do want to call to attention a word smart element for people. Howard Wallace uses verses 5 and 6 as either a call to worship or a call and response to or responsive prayer of praise. And I have that at the bottom of the Isaiah passage on the worksheet. So you can go there, or you can go to his website, read what he said and why he decided to use those verses.
Okay, let's go on.
The epistle lesson for Year C, Advent 3, is Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. And if you are familiar with this, you probably already know it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. And that is where I am stopping, because that is pretty much what I came up with for people smart for this particular passage. There's a lot more advice that happens along in verses 6 and 7, which really kind of bleeds over into self smart. There's a lot of individual goals that you can set for yourself. But the second person used throughout these verses is plural. Mm-hmm. So while the temptation is to make this an individual set of objectives, we need to keep the body of believers in mind as we hear these words. So I'm looking at verse 5 as an illustration, and I'm cheating a little bit because I'm bringing nature smart into it. Gentleness can also be defined as yielding. The Greek word could also be defined as yielding. And you can cheat a little bit here by using a nature smart element, contrasting hardwood and more pliable wood in a windstorm. The hardwoods tend to fall over when the winds blow really hard, especially if the ground is soggy. Yes, trees. and a more pliable wood bends with the wind and doesn't fall down on your house. So
the difference between oak and a bamboo.
Exactly, exactly. So sometimes being soft and pliant, in people's smart terms, means allowing others to step in and ease burdens. And sometimes it means letting the daily aggravations of life roll off you without being trapped under them. Mm. I personally think that humor, laughing with other people, and music, rejoicing with others, are great ways to remain gentle, yielding, and supple.
Nice.
So there you go. All right. I have two special effects, and they both center around the idea of yielding and gentleness. So the first special effect, break into groups and discuss these questions. What does it mean to yield, especially as we interact with others? What does yielding mean? What does Paul have in mind? When is it best to yield to someone? When is it good to encourage someone else to yield? And keep in mind that Jesus is shown as yielding his status in heaven in chapter 2 of Philippians. How does this influence our willingness to be gentle, to give up our place, and, you know, become lowly? Mm. In what ways do you let your gentleness be known? How can you develop this quality in your own life, and how can others help you? There's a lot of self-smart in these questions, but in discussing them in a group, there you get the capacity for people who are sensitive to others to be able to say, well, tell me more about that, or, you know, pull other things out, or say, this reminds me of, and kind of make that discussion a really meaningful experience. Something else you could use as a group discussion, if you choose not to do that, is to discuss a quote from Wesley White, who has a blog called Kairos Commotion Lectionary. In speaking of this particular passage, he says this: gentleness is not passivity, but spiritual judo, to be balanced and willing to be rebalanced as contexts changed, to be interior to the fear of another for the purpose of transformation of their sense of balance. Mm-hmm. So the whole idea with judo, of course, is to know where balance is and how to use that to defend yourself, to be on the offensive, to not get taken out by your opponent. But in this way, talking about it as spiritual judo, it's finding a sense of balance in yourself, and how do you reestablish balance in another person? So, questions. How do you learn this judo? How does one practice this judo? How does one employ this judo? And what are the ends of this judo?
Hmm.
So if you go with this one, you might need to talk a little bit about what judo is, but yeah. I think it's really an intriguing idea that gentleness is spiritual judo with the intention of keeping everyone balanced.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there you go.
Cool. All right. Looking at the passage from Music Smart, I've got one thing. I've got one special effect, and that is... You know those youth ministry games, and maybe
you're
getting there. and you know, you might do this with younger kids too in school, but it's a youth ministry thing where you do the slap, snap, clap kind of rhythm.
So slap your thighs, slap, clap your hands, snap your fingers. Yeah.
Yeah. Dun, dun. That kind of thing. Then you have to say somebody's name in the group. It's one of those dumb get-to-know-you games, mm-hmm. right? Doing that to the beat. And the idea is that you have to keep the rhythm. And it's either that you're naming somebody else in the circle, and then they have to name somebody else in mm-hmm. the circle and all that sort of thing. But the idea is that you have to keep the beat, and if you don't keep the beat, then you're out.
I mean, or start over.
Or yeah. you start over. That's... We don't want anybody to be out here, but do something like that, except with prayers of praise and thanksgiving. So depending on the size of your crowd, you could either do it on the spot where you get everybody doing the rhythm and then you just point to people and they have to, or you name them on one beat, on your turn on the beat, and then they have to say something
they're thankful for.
They're thankful for.
Cool.
And then back to you, and you say a name, and that person has to say something they're thankful for. If you have a small enough group, you could do it that way. Or you might want to have it a little more planned in advance and invite some participants to come up front with you to do it, and and they'd have a set thing that they were going to say, and then you just kind of go down the line doing it. So however you want to work that, but doing the prayers with with that kind of a rhythm. And we've got a link for you to how that game's supposed to be played.
Working in some people smart here. If you know your people are willing to do that kind of thing and take a risk, you can open it up. If you know your people are not so willing to do that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always got to know the crowd.
Yep.
Yep. Let's go on. The gospel lesson for year C, Advent 3, is Luke 3, 17 to 18. So on this Joy Sunday, this is rejoice, rejoice, believers, to langlaufen. Rejoice, rejoice, believers. Do you know that song?
Oh, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Minor key for a rejoicing song. So, John the Baptist came preaching, and to all those who came out to be baptized by him, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee
name for a band.
From the wrath to come?" Yes. And we mentioned, was it last year or a couple years ago on this passage, brood of vipers is you illegitimate children of snakes.
Yes, right? I think it was probably 3 years ago when we did this. Maybe. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Illegitimate children of snakes.
Yes.
Man, burn. Ooh,
right? Feeling salty now? I'm hep to all the jive the kids say. Anyway, he goes on and warns them and berates them for their arrogance, basically. Mm-hmm. And then different groups come to him and say, "What should we do?" And he tells them these rather obvious things, you know, like to, if somebody needs something and you have it,
give it,
share it. Yeah. Tax collectors, don't take more than you're supposed to take. And soldiers, don't beat up people and threaten them and falsely accuse them. I mean, that's fairly obvious stuff, you'd think. Which is maybe why he was yelling at them so much.
Well, it could be that that particular thing he is warning them against is the temptation to abuse that.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah.
It's the temptation for abuse.
Yeah. And, you know, it's still...
He's saying don't do it.
It's still an issue for all of us
To
fall off the cliff that way. Mm-hmm. Anyway, then he turns and... Because everyone's thinking, oh, is this the Messiah? And he's like, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not worthy to carry his shoes. But he's coming and he will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire.
This is where we almost set the curtains on fire.
Yeah. So 3 years ago, and we haven't mentioned this, but you know, we did this passage 3 years ago in our first series, mm-hmm. and so you can go look up that and see what we did. And I think that's where we lit the baptismal font on fire.
Yes, yes. So, but we practiced it here at home, so we'd be sure that we because we used rubbing alcohol instead of water.
It was pure.
Oh, right. Instead of, that's why. Yeah. So then we decided let's dilute it. So
yeah,
we
it was 70%, I think, is what we ended up with, because you can get 90, and that was a hot fire. Anyway, not doing that this year. You can do it if you want. That'd be awesome. But what we're looking at now is I want to look at Music Smart. And I've just got a little bit here. Again, I only came up with one thing. It's sort of an illustration, but it's sort of a special effect.
And it's got some people elements.
It does, because it's drama. Mm. So retell the story as a new music director organizing a middle school band. And
it goes
something like this.
New middle school music director addresses the kids in the band room as they come in and get their instruments.
All right, you rabble. Everyone sit down. I know most of you would be in detention if you weren't here in band. And don't think you can get away with anything. The principal has got security cameras and will be watching. And all that aside, I think we can make some good music together if we apply ourselves. And if you aren't ready to do that, you might end up in study hall.
The clarinet section looked at each other, and one of them asked, "What are we supposed to do then?"
"Play the best you can, but don't try to hog the limelight. Listen to everyone playing around you and blend with them. Play with your section, not against them. And watch the director."
Even the drummers and percussion section were paying attention. "What should we do?"
"Count your rests and play your drums. Don't bang them just to get attention."
The trumpet section, not wanting to be left out, asked, "And what should we do?"
"Don't try to outplay the other sections. Be satisfied with how your part is written. Follow your music, especially the dynamics. If it says MP, then play mezzo piano. Remember, the flutes and French horns have a right to be heard, too."
As they began practice, everyone was getting excited because no other directors had talked with them like this. They began to think, this might be the maestro.
"Now look, I'm just getting you warmed up. When concert time approaches, we'll have a director who is far better than I am. I'm not worthy to carry the maestro's baton. The maestro will have you playing more divinely than you can even imagine yourself doing. And anyone who isn't taking this seriously will be swept off the stage. Now, once again, from the top." And scene. So there you are. It's drama. So People Smart, borrowing from Molly's department today. But the musical theme there should keep your music smart folks engaged.
Absolutely. Moving over to actual People Smart, I've got a little clip from a commentary by Debbie Thomas at the website Journey with Jesus, and she says this: "According to Luke, great crowds stream into the desert to get yelled at by John. Why? Why are they willing, no, eager, to hear his fire and brimstone preaching? What attracts them? The first clue lies in the question they ask John at the conclusion of his sermon. What should we do?" So here again, David and I are working in concert without knowing it.
Concert. And, hey, that's music smart.
And so as an illustration, Luke is giving an ethical to-do list here. John tells them to have a moral compass, live a life code. No excuses here. And you can't say that you don't know after hearing this. An illustration that you might want to use is from the recent funeral of George Herbert Walker Bush, where Russell Levinson, his pastor of the past 10 or 11 years, in his eulogy, he says, "Some have said in the last few days, this is the end of an era, but it does not have to be. Perhaps it's an invitation to fill the hole that has been left behind." Levinson speaking in terms of George H.W. Bush's tendency to work with people, which seems to be in short supply in our nation's leadership at this point in time. But instead of giving up and saying, "Oh, that's the end of that," maybe we can just grow some new peoples, raise up some new people that are able to work with each other. Mm-hmm. So
that'd be good.
Yeah, it would. So for a special effect in the text, John answers the questions by telling people to go home. Go back into your daily lived lives and do what you always do, but with a different perspective, God's perspective. So for a special effect, gather in groups and discuss how taking John's words to broods of vipers will affect your daily living and your daily work. Gather together and imagine yourself being addressed by John and being told, "Do this." So discuss what it is you can do that you always do that would be done in a way that gives glory. This presupposes, of course, that John's words have had an effect and have enlivened a desire for something different in people's lives. Some folks might hear this and just think, "Yeah, I'm a brood of vipers. What you gonna do about it?" Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
But anyway, there you go. Have fun. That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you like even better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS. Or point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. Help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes Store. And of course, you can always share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed.
And be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come.
Thank you, Eddie Izzard.
Yes.